The International Bible Lesson for Sunday, March 26, 2017, is from the prophet Joel, chapter 2, verses 12 through 13, verses 18 through 19, and verses 28 through 32. Hear now the word of the Lord from the New International Version. Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart, and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. Then the Lord was jealous for his land, and took pity on his people. The Lord replied to them, I am sending you grain, new wine and olive oil, enough to satisfy you fully. Never again will I make you an object of scorn to the nations. And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said, even among the survivors whom the Lord calls. May the Lord bless this reading of His holy word. International Bible Lessons Commentary. Uniform Sunday School Lessons. L.G. Parkhurst, Jr. Joel chapter 2, verses 12 through 13, 18 through 19, 28 through 32. New International Version, March 26, 2017. Questions for discussion and thinking further follow the verse-by-verse International Bible Lesson Commentary. Study hints for discussion and thinking further will help with class preparation and in conducting class discussion. These hints are available on the International Bible Lessons Commentary website, along with the International Bible Lesson, that you may want to read to your class as part of your Bible study. You can discuss each week's commentary and lesson at the International Bible Lesson Forum. Joel 2:12. Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Little is known about Joel and whether or not he preached before or after the Babylonian exile. But his message is timeless, and he is quoted in the New Testament. Through Joel, the Lord invites those who may have sinned grievously against him, and who are even being punished for their stubbornness, to repent and return to him. Even now, and not wait. But those who repent must sincerely repent by feeling and expressing true remorse for what they have done. God will know whether or not they are returning to Him with all their heart. Joel 2:13. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. God sees into the human heart and knows the reasons for our behavior. An outward show of repentance, such as tearing your clothes, means nothing to the Lord if there is no sincere desire to return to obeying God. Still, there are many good reasons to sincerely repent and return to the Lord. He may be punishing someone or threatening punishment for sin. But because of God's character, he can choose to stop a punishment after true repentance. Joel 2:18. Then the Lord was jealous for his land and took pity on his people. Joel described an army of locusts that God had sent to devour the land of Judah as punishment for their idolatry and sinful rebellion against God, and for the way the unrighteous had abused the righteous. Joel states in human terms that God wanted to free his land from the swarm of locusts, and from pity for his suffering people, God wanted to remove the cause of their suffering. God wanted to save them because of his abounding love, not because his people deserved or merited his forgiveness. Joel 2:19. The Lord replied to them, "I am sending you grain, new wine and olive oil, enough to satisfy you fully. Never again will I make you an object of scorn to the nations." God was speaking to the generations that were alive at that time. God would not only remove the cause of their suffering, God would also abundantly bless them and meet all their needs, material and spiritual. They would learn about God's justice, come to respect God's kingdom on earth, and experience God's gracious compassion in giving them so many undeserved blessings. Those alive at that time would never again be an object of scorn to the nations. They would remain obedient to the Lord. Of course, later generations would rebel against the Lord and suffer the consequences. Joel 2:28. And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Afterward came when the Holy Spirit was poured out upon and within Jesus' followers and those who came to faith in Jesus on the day of Pentecost and later. See Acts chapter 2, verses 17 through 21, which quotes Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 32. With the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, not just on the prophets or the 12 disciples of Jesus, but on all people who believed in Jesus the Messiah, God gave assurance to the world that the last days had begun. Believers of all ages would anticipate the future with joy in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Joel 2:29. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. On the day of Pentecost and afterward, God has poured out his spirit on his servants, young and old, men and women, rich and poor, slave and free. Those who believe in and trust in Jesus Christ, those who sincerely repent of their sins and love and seek to serve God in the name of Jesus Christ in his church. The Holy Spirit is only poured out and into those who by the grace of God come to God through faith in Jesus Christ. Joel 2:30. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The last days began on the day of Pentecost. So, as Joel promised, we have assurance that sometime in the future there will be the great and dreadful day of the Lord. We have seen many wonders in the heavens, some terrifying, but the last day has not come yet, because the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. What the world has seen in the past, and what we see today, can serve as warnings to repent before our last day. Joel 2:31. The sun will be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. In the past, people have seen some of these types of signs locally or in various geographical areas. We have had many eclipses, and blowing red sand can make the moon look like it has turned to blood. But on the great and dreadful day of the Lord, these signs in the heaven will be final, universal, and seen in some sense by everyone on the earth. God does not tell how he will do this, but with modern technology, everyone can see major events almost simultaneously wherever they happen. Joel 2:32. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said, even among the survivors whom the Lord calls. A great last day is coming, and will come for all of us if we die before Christ comes again. But it will not be a day of total disaster, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The name of the Lord includes the total personality, character, and nature of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. To call on the name of the Lord, one looks with faith to God as He really is, as revealed in the Old Testament and the New Testament. See especially 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. The Lord Jesus came to Jerusalem and brought deliverance by His death on the cross. And no matter what this calamity, the Lord can save those who call upon His name. Notice especially how the Apostle Paul applies the words of Joel in Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 17. See also 1 Corinthians 12:3. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. See Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 17. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How, then, can they call on the name of one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Questions for discussion and thinking further. From your reading of Joel, how does God expect sinners to come to Him? 2. Why can sinners feel confident that God will save them when they come to Him? 3. Will God only meet people's spiritual needs? Give a reason for your answer. 4. When did God fulfill His promise in Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 29? 5. What do Joel chapter 2, verse 32, and Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 17, teach about the way to be saved and the responsibility of Christians? International Bible Lesson, L.G. Parkhurst, Jr. Reasons to Rend Your Heart, March 26, 2017. Joel 2:13. Rend your heart, and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and He relents from sending calamity. Jesus and the Old Testament prophets warned against religious practices that some used simply to mislead others. The public tearing of one's clothing was meant to demonstrate deep humility, sorrow, and remorse for having wronged someone. But for too many, it was done just for show. A public confession may or may not reveal the true condition of someone's heart. Too many people publicly express their regret for wrongdoing when their only real regret was getting caught. So, they quietly resolve to be more careful the next time. To rend the heart is a sincere willingness before God to make amends for doing wrong to the one wronged, if possible, to express sincere sorrow for the wrong done, and to do right in the future with God's help. No one has been more wronged by us than God, and Joel has given us good reasons to rend our hearts and return to the Lord. God is gracious and compassionate. God is more willing to forgive us than we can imagine. Therefore, God graciously sent His Son to show and tell us how much God is willing to forgive those who rend their hearts and return to Him through faith in Jesus. God so abounds in love and compassion that He is willing to take our painful regrets and the pain we have caused Him unto Himself, so He can heal our wounded spirits and enable us to do right in the future. Because God is slow to anger, He is waiting patiently for us to return to Him. Begin or close your class by reading the short, weekly International Bible Lesson. Visit the International Bible Lessons Forum for teachers and students. Copyright 2017 by L.G. Parkhurst, Jr. Permission granted for not-for-profit use.